Welcome in. Time for thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER.
Hey, welcome in. You know, Jimmy and I did an editorial this morning, and we asked for some response. We got a little bit of response. We had three or four of you came back, and I appreciate that. I want to say that I did address every single comment. I'm kind of intrigued with that book. That John, that you mentioned, it sounds like a pretty good book. Anyhow, having said that, I'm going to talk a little bit about politics in general right now. Big Al's going to elaborate on his philosophy, which I am pretty sure is true, and then we're going to ask Jim what his opinion of it is. Number one, I firmly believe we're at war right now. I believe we're at war with China. China is doing it in such a way that the average person who doesn't understand the Chinese philosophy probably is totally unaware of it. The Chinese have a very different concept of time than we do, and we all know that. I've talked about that numerous times. China is winning the psychological war. We're going to be talking about that today with Jim, and then Jimmy and I are going to be talking with John Huber in terms of the psychological ABCs exactly of what China is doing. China is very effectively infiltrating the United States, making people miserable mentally. This COVID thing is driving people nuts. It's increasing the level of frustration in the United States. It's making people very, very depressed. The depression rate is up in the United States. When a person is depressed, they can't think. They can't think logically. When a person is depressed, they are very easy to control. China is controlling a lot of folks in our country. When people are angry, they're also very easy to control. A number of my liberal friends don't even care about the political issues anymore, primarily because they are in such a mindset because of the COVID thing, they're just throwing their hands up in the air. And they're saying, I simply don't have time to deal with this. COVID was an absolutely amazing way to infiltrate the U.S. And really knock down our population. And it was done very effectively. The first question I would have for you, Jim, is, are you sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that COVID was brought into the United States by the mainland Chinese? I am.
Well, we know that, I mean, let's go back to how this thing all started. We know that in the town of Wuhan is where the virus was initially identified. We know that it was initially blamed on a wet market a couple hundred yards from the Bio4 Wuhan Institute Virology, Bio4 level lab that was supposed to be doing research. We know that research was being partially funded by the National Institute for Infectious Disease and Allergies and Infectious Disease, which is run by Anthony Fauci, which was supported by the NIH, the National Institute of Health. That research they were doing were attempting to identify viruses that could be a threat and then creating viruses in order to do more. We don't know what happened after that moment. Between what they were doing with research and how it got out. We don't know if it was purposeful or not, but we do know after it got out that the Chinese government locked down the entire province of Wuhan in order to contain it, but allowed direct flights out of Wuhan to London, Milan, and New York. And that went on for approximately a few weeks before President Trump, I think it was about 30 days before President Trump stopped those flights and said there will be, you know, basically did not allow any Chinese entry for that. He stopped it and was called a racist because of it.
Right.
So those facts show us that the Chinese knew something was going on, something very bad was going on with this virus, and that they were able to allowed people to fly out to these direct places. Oh, by the way, some of the Milan, New York, and London were some of the worst hit by the COVID early on. So it looks like if you just take that information, you say they probably, you know, either strongly messed up or actively were pursuing spreading this virus to their opposition. The other piece of it that I think is more important was the propaganda that was coming out of China, creating this tremendous amount of fear. And fear is how you control people. And of course, videos of screaming and yelling and entire lockdowns, police knocking people up, all on the threat that there were going to be thousands, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of death because of the virus, that it was going to have a huge mortality rate in the 5 or 6% initially reported, then it keeps dropping down to now it's about 1%. That fear was picked up by U.S. media on all left and right, and then perpetuated that, and then created the circumstances that really changed the outcome of a U.S. election, because people blamed Donald Trump for that. And regardless of what actions he took, they were very frustrated and scared with what was happening. And now we've seen a continuation of that. So there is some potential facts that would indicate that the Chinese have used this in propaganda for sure, that they've used it to create fear. And of course, they've been gaining globally, economically. And then we've got these supply chain issues. We've got a lot of things that are happening right now while the rest of the economy and the rest of the world is actually struggling to get over this thing. So it's one part of a strategy of what they call unrestricted warfare. We talked about with Josh Phillips on from the Epoch Times, now becoming quite famous, actually, about their strategy to use whatever means possible to basically defeat the West and counter the United States. And they're doing it through multiple ways, through economics, through buying up properties, through controlling this Belt and Road Initiative, controlling resources, by taking control of rare earth metals, by overtaking production, manufacturing of massive amounts of formerly U.S. or European manufacturers now done in China, by controlling corporate boards, by controlling media outlets, by having a very sophisticated propaganda campaign, by having a very, very stringent social credit score and surveillance state that controls, you know, through authoritarian principles that don't allow people to question anything in their government. And that's spreading rapidly. So it looks like they have the advantage right now. And we better wake up pretty quick or we're in big trouble.
Well, Jimmy, they've definitely got the advantage right now. I want to go on with my philosophy a little bit. Right now, if you look at the people, the citizens in America who are very, very dependent on the Chinese, you got Bill Gates and you got Jeff Bezos. I would have to say, without a doubt, the two most powerful people in the United States right now, and that would include all of our elected political officials. I would maintain that these guys are working in concert with Carlos Slim, which is the New York Times. They're working in concert, obviously, with the Washington Post, and that's something that Bezos has taken care of. We're getting more and more and more infiltration into the press, and I think the Chinese are doing that very effectively. They're making Bezos feel, Bill Gates feel very, very warm and fuzzy because they believe that what they are doing is absolutely correct. As I mentioned in one of my comments earlier today, they believe it's absolutely correct because they can afford to believe that. They have no other worries in the world other than to go down in history as being somebody who really, really helped the underdog. That is an incredibly powerful piece of ammunition that the Chinese have. I want to go back on another subject right now. Give us a summation, if you would, Jim, and I'd like to cut this for a break in about 3 minutes, just to take a break. Tell me, in your opinion, let's summarize what Tony Fauci, a man who Donald Trump had all the respect in the world for initially. Tell me the negative aspects of Anthony Fauci's personality and his deeds.
So what we're seeing now through actual documentation, emails from Anthony Fauci between he and Peter Daszak, the EcoHealth Alliance director, that was actually funded through Fauci's agency to do these gain-of-function research. I think what happened So Fauci's been involved. He came to the NIAID back in the 80s in the AIDS epidemic. And according to a lot of documentation, a lot of information, the AIDS research and went on for a long time, and there's a lot of different things that pushed around, but nothing was really successful until the Bush administration in the 2000s really pushed and spent a lot of money on giving giving the right resources and basically focusing on Africa. Fauci was still in charge. Bush helped him out because of that. And then you get this idea, this fear of pandemic that he and some of his partners and other people like Francis Collins at the National Institute of Health, I think they believed that they were doing good initially, but they depend on pharmaceuticals. And what we have is a relationship with these agencies, these federal agencies and pharmaceutical companies. Pharmaceutical companies have a financial interest in it. And these guys have an interest, okay, let's work together with them to do the right thing. Well, I think they began playing God. I think they began starting to think that they were more powerful and they needed to do this research in order to prove and seeing what they could do. And I think it got him in big time trouble. And what he's done in public testimony is contradicted what documentation the NIH has that they did go with gain of function research, which is basically trying to make two different strains, viruses more lethal. They say it wasn't intended, but there's no reason why it wouldn't be intended, because the goal was to create vaccines to fight it. And then you've got this big push again with mRNA technology, messenger RNA technology that has never been tried before. And that is beginning to, they wanted to experience. They thought that this was a new technology that would be the fastest way to create vaccines. That's what the initial research showed them. But they've never done large-scale trials on it. And now they're experimenting with the entire globe's population to push their agendas, because they probably started something. This is my opinion. They started something by accident. They are now trying to cover it up. And, of course, the Chinese may have not been accident. We don't know that. But Fauci's trying to cover it up. Then he's forcing these vaccinations because he thinks that's going to solve the problem. But what we're finding out is that the research is not as strong and these vaccines are not as effective as what they were promised to be. And of course, we don't know the long-term outcomes. Most of these vaccine trials last 7 to 10 years. This is a couple of months, and it's really, really dangerous.
Yeah, I know. I don't disagree with that, not even in the slightest. Jimmy, I'd like to cut it here and then maybe go on a little bit if we come up with some new ideas, either later this evening or tomorrow, for sure tomorrow. Jim, thanks for your opinions.
Talk to you later, Al.